Hello, everybody, and welcome back to baseball. This is a very special edition of Under the Radar, featuring your friend and mine, Ian Cam.
Hello, my friends.
Are we going to jingle jangle or what? Are we just going to...
Oh, damn.
What? Come on, dude. This is like...
See, I went a different drink tonight. It doesn't have the jangle. I even put ice in. It's a watermelon martini, so it's freshly... watermelon that has been blended with ice and Grey Goose vodka, man. I am enjoying it thoroughly, I must say. But it doesn't have the...
How about banging your wedding ring against the glass? You know, just let us know it's there.
Okay, hold on.
There we go.
There you go.
Titanium wedding ring, apparently, yeah. And your friend of mine, Doug Riva.
What's going on, fellas?
DVR, what do you got?
Water.
Oh, my. You know, it's almost like you don't like us.
No, it's not. Nando, don't get confused. We've been pretty clear from the beginning of this show. We're now in season two, up to episode 55. We are the meat and the cheese. He is the ciabatta bread, the best bread you can buy, to be honest. But for him to show up with a Jack Daniels on the rocks, that would not be ciabatta. So it's really quite perfect.
That actually would be a very ciabatta thing to drink.
That's probably what I would get. What's the last bourbon I had? I think I had Buffalo Trace. It's pretty good for its price range, and I finally finished it off. I drink it and cook with it. So it goes a little faster that way.
Ooh, look at that.
I just forgot to replace the bottle. It just ran out.
DVR, do you want to give our audience your P.O. box for them to send you some fancy bourbon?
That'd be amazing. If anyone wants to send me fancy bourbon, just reach out to me on Twitter, at Derek Van Riper.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
DVR.
All right, DVR. So big news for the show. We're going to get to the OOTP fun eventually, but I think we owe it to the audience to get over this... this baseball stuff that's going on. Baseball's back. 60-game season. I'm sure there's a much more serious version of this on Rates and Barrels. I think, DVR, you guys recorded before everything was official, but after it was kind of like unofficial, right?
Yeah, before the deadline, which was a terrible idea because there was still at least a chance that things would break down, right? With safety and health protocols, like, that's not a guarantee that things would be agreed upon, but... Fortunately, things were agreed upon, so that episode's not completely useless.
So here's what we know. 60-game season. That's it. So let's move on to that. Really.
What I find interesting, and I can't figure out how it's going to play out, is this how you're playing every game pretty much against your division, except for the interleague games against National League or American League in the same, you know, area. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch.
I think that was the way around the geographic setup. And it's because they couldn't do the expanded playoffs and mess everything up like that. So, like, the Yankees won't be playing the Twins unless it's a playoff game. That's how I understand it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it'll be Yankees versus the Red Sox, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Orioles. So
right.
They'll play 10 games against each of those teams, and then 5 games against the NL East. So against the Phillies, Nationals, and so on. There'll be a lot of people getting hit with pitches. A lot of brawls.
Why? You think there'll be a lot of brawls in the coronavirus age?
I do, actually, and I think that I'm
yeah,
it should be, but I don't think it's going to be, because I think one of the things that's, you know, interdivision, within your division, when you're playing, and you're playing a lot, you know, the temperatures raise all the time. Even if you're playing fast pitch softball against the same team over and over again, you start to get a little angry. You know, little things happen, little lift of the spikes here, a little inside brushback pitch there. I just think there's going to be tempers are going to rise a little bit, I'm afraid.
I don't think so. I mean, if you got, look, I mean, I've written about this before. I don't think we've talked about it much on the show, but, you know, because the three of us, I think, are very similar in our COVID-19 kind of craziness. Rubbing down groceries and wearing masks to the grocery store and stuff and just going around very gingerly. But, you know, if we're in a baseball locker room and there are three of us, and it looks like so going to be 30 people until like the 15th game, the 28th and 26th with 60-man rosters and taxi squads all over the place. But it looks, I mean, the three of us maybe think similarly, but if you stuck us in a room with, you know, 20 other people, there are going to be so many different views on this whole thing and how you can get it and carefree versus very vigilant attitudes. That, I don't know, Ian, like if you start a brawl and you're my teammate and you go in there and try and charge, like I might be like, no, are you insane? Like I'm like, I don't know what the Reds have been doing. So I don't know if you'll have, like, it could be such a mess. Like, you don't know who's going to have your back and who's not going to have your back.
It's a decent thing to take a side bet on. What brawls are stopped.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. If your batter gets hit and goes out to the pitcher and the nine guys on the other team are starting to swarm on your guy, then, you know, you're going to go out there and protect your team. That's my guess. Unless they put something really specific into the rule books about that, because of that, saying if you go onto the field, if you brawl in any way, it's a 10-game suspension in a 60-game season, right? That might keep tempers a little bit more even keeled. They might need to do that.
Here's something that DVR might enjoy because he's Chibata, right? I was reading the March 26th agreement last night after all this kind of unofficially went down, just to see, like, you know, everyone's talking about this agreement, but no one's actually saying what's inside of it. And there's a provision about service time that's something like, if it's very harsh how you can lose your service time with a very small amount of percentage-wise games. It's like you take that number of games you played times 186 and then divide that number by 172. Or there's some math like that. So, I mean, if you're suspended for 10 games, does that count as service time? If you're serving a suspension? Oh, the other cool thing is you're serving, like, probably a drug suspension, if 80-game suspension becomes 60 games now. Nothing carries over to 2021 in the pre-existing suspensions.
That's cool.
But that first one, I'd be interested to see what the service time issues might be if they pop up.
I'm more interested to see what the health situation is going to be. I mean, with the news tonight that Charlie Blackmon now has COVID-19 and two other Colorado Rocky players, how that's going to be handled, because it's really going to happen more. I just wonder who are the players that are going to say it's just not worth it for me to put my body, my organs at risk during this time. It's just something to be considered and something that we're all going to deal with. That being said, the idea of having 60 days of, you know, real life baseball is really exciting and really I'm excited for it. I'm pleased that it's happening.
DVR, I'd like to bring up something that Brandon Tierney wrote on Twitter, and then I saw Melissa Lockhart said a similar thing right before we started the show. He suggested a lot of day games would be a good idea. Kids home from school or from whatever being canceled, everything being canceled, everyone's home all day. Wouldn't that be good for the sport? But that'll never happen, I assume, right?
Maybe they'd stagger games a little more than usual. That could be a good thing.
Great.
I mean, I guess, is there a benefit to the league to play day games? Like, do they do better on TV stretching things out on a weekday? Maybe in a pandemic they do, compared to situations when a lot of people at their offices couldn't stream games, right? People working from home can do that. It's an easier adjustment to make. Yeah, I hadn't really thought much about it. I mean, I'm all for it. As somebody who would have a game on all day, I'd rather have that on than studio shows or whatever is going to be on. I love watching soccer during the day. But
I assume there's
got to
be some kind of ratings deal, contracty thing, where the night games are probably more valuable to ESPN than the day games. But maybe that'll flip. Maybe they'll find out more people are watching during the day.
And also, ESPN can be the night games. But you could have two or three day games going constantly because you're not going to be thinking about attendance.
Yeah,
it would be great.
Well, although Texas
you're supposed to be thinking about getaway days, probably, right?
Really?
Just a heads up on that one. By the way, I don't know why I wasn't drinking for like the first eight of these Ian After Darks. This is amazing.
It's a lot more fun that way.
Yeah, it really is.
I drink more on Tuesday nights than any other night of the week.
My brother wanted me to go and drink at his house, and I'm like, I shouldn't. Not tonight. Tomorrow night. I like to drink during the show. I don't want to be bombed for the start of the show. So there's an episode like four or five back. I don't remember anything. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I'm just kidding. Let's play a quick game. DVR. How well do you know Ian Kahn? Does he hate or does he accept the runner on second rule?
I'm going to say that he accepts it. I think as a temporary measure, I think he accepts it. I think long term, he thinks it's Chuck E. Cheese. Carnival garbage.
I'm gonna say he really. Ian comes across as a super purist, so I'm gonna say that he really, really hates this, even in a 60 game season, and we maybe get a 90 second rant out of it. Ian Kahn,
let me tell you what. I'm actually quite good with it. I'm good with it for the 60-game season. I am actually good with it for a 162-game season. I am not good with it for the postseason. In the fast-pitch softball league that I play in, you play seven innings, and then starting in the eighth, you do have the runner on second base, and it's fascinating and super fun and adds so much to the experience, because then the away team has to decide, like, do I move the runner over, get him to third, try to get that one run in, or do I try to, like, build up, like, you know, build off of this and try to get a 3 or 4 run inning? I also think that the 17-inning games, I'm a pass on that. Anything that brings more excitement to baseball, I'm kind of for it. So I'm good with that. I'm also good with the NL going to DH, because it's more exciting to watch designated hitters hit than it is to watch pitchers hit.
All right. Well, thanks for ruining the game by just exposing your answer for one of them already.
Oh, damn. I didn't see that on
the
rundown.
No, it wasn't on the rundown.
But I would say that...
It's my fault.
It was in your head.
Yeah,
damn.
I should have put it in the rundown.
I would say, well, you can ask me that for DVR, but I will say that Nando is 100% wrong and that Derek was like 50-50 right.
All right. Fair enough. Oh, hold on. You did just do a 90-second rant, so I wasn't totally off.
That's true.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a rant. It was like a...
Partial credit.
It was a monologue.
It wasn't a rant. No, I did my rant last week on the Yankees. That was a rant. That was a rant.
DVR, what is the percent chance you think we'll see all 60 games played? Or do you think things will come crashing down, you know, like mid-August?
I'm close to 50%. I mean, and I think it goes back to what you were saying before. I think the three of us are generally very careful and trying to stay home and doing as little as we can in crowds as possible. I'm seeing the reports, thinking about what happened with the Orlando Pride and the NWSL. I mean, that was a team that was at a bar, and every state is going to be handled a little bit differently. So I have a hard time imagining that players are going to live in a self-quarantine-like state for an entire season. It's so hard to get that many people to do the same thing. Like, if you take... I was thinking about this with... there's an independent ball team in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Milkmen, and we talked to one of the guys in their front office on the Brewers pod. They have an opening day of July 3rd, and they are going to have limited capacity with fans in the stadium, and they've got a lot of safety protocols in place. And I thought, I would go to a game, maybe. I would probably not go to my seat. I'd probably go to, like, the concourse and just find my own space and wear a mask. And I think because it's a small environment, it might work out. But the problem is, if you let 1,000 people into a stadium, you have, what, a 50-50 split of people who see COVID one way and handle COVID one way versus a group of people who see it a completely different way. And that's very problematic. I think even within the player pool, you've got some pretty wide-ranging approaches to this pandemic.
This whole thing's going to be so weird and awesome. I can't wait. I mean, like, the more they reveal, like, a three-player... So they got a... There's a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think it was a Bob Nightingale one, or maybe Heyman, that there's going to be a camp full of unsigned players who are going to be a pool of people that they can just kind of sign or bring in quickly in case of emergency. Which was one of my theories from 2 months ago, that there should be, like... Because all these unsigned players, like Irvin Santana on a taxi squad just waiting to be called up. There's, like, an unsigned catcher, too, who's like that. That dude, emergency catcher. I wish I could remember who it was. Anyway, I'd have to go look it up. But, I mean, like, there's just, like, these little quirks and these fun little things. By the way, DVR, you mentioned the Milwaukee team. Made me think. I know you off-air beforehand, we were talking about baseball card buying. I almost got a Bob Uecker rookie card. But it's too much money. I'm going to have Selfino, my agent, look it up for me.
Ooh.
Right, wouldn't you want one of those? Like, isn't that a cool thing to want?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been thinking a lot about old baseball cards, and I was telling Ian before the show, when I was a kid, I always wanted the Upper Deck Griffey rookie. You know, it's pretty iconic for a child who grew up loving baseball in the 90s to want that card. So I finally just bought one, in part with the winning from you guys.
Whoa.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Whoa, spoiler alert. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Just
DVR.
Totally jumped the show.
Oh, that's like a moldy, it's moldy Chibata, man. Yeah, how could you?
Just wow. Just ruined it. Ruined it. Moldy Chibata.
That's better than moldy cheese.
I never even thought so.
Salami, which is what we are. At least you can cut off the mold on the ciabatta bread, right?
Would you eat it? Ian doesn't seem like the kind of guy
probably,
would eat
probably letting that bread go, but.
No, man, you know, Fernando, we should play the game. Do you know Ian Khan? Because I've got cheese in that refrigerator right now from 2006.
That's gross.
It's not true.
Well, cheese, right? No, I tried it correctly.
Sour cream. How much? It's fine. The date says June 17th. It is June 20th. It's fine. Oh, honey, it's fine. I swear. All right. Ugh.
I love the Euchre rookie card idea. I was going down the path of wanting a Hank Aaron rookie card. Even, you know, a one grade is going to be pretty expensive, for me at least. It's going to get up to the low four figures, right? It's going to be $1,000, I would say, at least. I can't spend $1,000 on a card. I don't live that kind of life.
What would you pay for a mint signed DeMarcus Evans rookie card?
You don't know it's mint. It hasn't been graded yet.
Oh, it's mint. I got the certificate of authenticity right here. And I'm looking at it. These corners are perfect. Joe Biggs of Big Sports. He signed it. He didn't sign the card, but he signed the certificate of authenticity. It's right here, man. This is Nando DeFino's card.
I don't know.
I beat him to it, and I'm going to give it to him. Very exciting.
I'm going to say $6 with an up arrow.
There you go.
I think I paid like $9, including shipping, so that's about right.
So DVR let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
We might as well get to that. The Arizona Diamondbacks do not want to talk to anyone right now. It was just a bet. First of all, very excellent timing. We hit the postseason just as the real baseball season is coming back. So I think we pulled that perfectly. But I don't even want, like, Arizona Diamondbacks, one-run game.
Wow.
Madison Bumgarner could not do it. So I wanted to Venmo DVR live on air. But go ahead, DVR.
PayPal him.
One of you can tell the story of this terrible season.
No, go ahead, DVR. You do
go
it.
Go ahead, Ian. This is beautiful. I was worried. I had the Dodgers for the last series of the season. Got the wins I needed against the Dodgers, and Nando's D-backs just fell apart. One game deficit. I actually got the home wild card spot. Nando had to go play game 163 against the Nationals for the second wild card spot, and unfortunately he lost.
Oh, sure you were.
I was rooting for Nando in that game.
I was.
Anyway. I wasn't rooting for Nando to get bounced from the playoffs. That's
Ian
terrible.
Ian gave the guy who beat me the blueprint to winning.
You know, I was thinking about that, right? So I was thinking about that. I was trying to make a deal with Max.
You sell your friends. Like, that's cool.
Not even. Who would have guessed that the Arizona Diamondbacks would have such an epic failure in the last 3 weeks?
I wasn't a failure. It was impossible. Collapse. Let's watch our words.
Collapse. Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough. Collapse. It was. I mean, the idea that these Diamondbacks, like, you had it. You had it wrapped up. You were in first place.
By a lot.
Now, the season ends. Yes, the season ends with Derek Van Riper with 88 wins and 74 losses. He gets the $10 from Khan and DeFino.
I thought it was 12.
Ian Khan. I think it's 10.
It was 12. Yeah, dude. Oh, wasn't it? Oh, Ian. It was 12. Typical Ian.
Damn. Oh, I got it. Damn, I got to send another $2. Okay, so Derek Van Riper, 88 and 74. Ian Khan, 87 and 75, one game behind. And Nando DeFino, 87 and 76.
That hurts, man. That 163rd pushed me below Ian. I was like eight games ahead of both you guys when we made this bet.
You were. That's what I'm saying. Epic collapse. What was it like? What was it like in the moment when you were waiting and you saw that the email was there?
Yeah.
And you opened it, like, what was the thought process right there? Because that's the fun of it. So what was your thought process?
I was just, let me just go.
Did you think you were gonna win?
No, I really didn't. It was, you know, Bumgarner, for whatever reason, the sim hated Bumgarner this year. He did not do well. Which, by the way, we can start applying this to real life now. I think Bumgarner is gonna be awesome in this short season. I think Bumgarner's he's that big game guy who's going to come in and just mow everybody down and be amazing. But the sim
I
didn't
like
him.
His velocity's down.
His velocity was
his
down.
His velocity is. Yeah, maybe it comes back. You may be right, but once it, you know, once that velocity, what's the old Ron Chandler? Once you have a skill, you own it.
Yeah.
Once that velocity goes down, you lose it. I mean, I think I just added the second half to that, but I think it's true. It's rare that you see the velocity come back.
Well, okay, so 60 games, you say five-man rotation, whatever, 10 starts, right? So you want to call it 60, 65 innings? You know, based
you're
on
Ian Conning it.
Is it 65 innings good?
The answer is 12, and you go with 10.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
So
12. So 75 innings. Let's say 75 innings.
All right, we'll say 75 innings. DVR, are you cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure all three of us are on board with this.
Yeah, I think that's probably where like the high end
and he's
got to
fall into that with that contract
right around there.
You tell me, Madison Bumgarner is looking at 75 innings, and he and like all those hardcores aren't like, oh, I'm giving it every single effing thing I have right now, and he's not gonna. I bet you his velocity goes up higher than it used to be. How about that?
All right. How about this?
How about that? 90 strikeouts in 75 innings.
Okay, I'm taking the under on that. Come on.
All right. That's a bit. I mean, was exaggerating. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you a number, okay?
All right.
I'm going to say you're going to go over this number because you were going to go to 90. I'll just go to 68.
Oh, he's definitely going to have at least
68
one inning.
68 and 75. Okay.
Let's do the K per 9. How about that? Give me the K per 9 instead.
I'll go under 9.
I'm going to say he's going to get a strikeout per inning at least.
DVR?
Well, Are we putting money on this, or are we
yeah,
just
so we'll
putting
put money
on it,
and Ian will give himself 20% right. discount when it's time to pay up.
So true. What was great, though, was he was going to have 12 he's starts, been... and you only gave him 10. So he's pulled a con. I mean, I'd go 10 bucks. I'd go 12 bucks on that. I would. I would go 12
Has
bucks.
Someone's got to be recording. Like, I feel like we've made so many bets that have gone into the ether. Like, I really don't remember. This seems familiar, and I seem every time
Steve
we do
G.
this.
Steve G.
Yeah, someone
Steve
keep a track G. of these, please.
Come on, Steve G.
It'd be pretty sweet if Steve G had a whiteboard in his office, and he's just, like, here are the bets from under the radar. You knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And you owe both those guys $10,000.
Just Monopoly
God,
money.
All wrong.
Yeah, they would get those baseball cards. Get that Hank yeah, Aaron.
And DVR could get his Hank Aaron cards. Sure.
Okay, so here's the deal. So 3 years in a row, Bumgarner's been just the 2018 was way under.
He's been hurt.
Outlier year.
He fell off
a
dirt bike.
Performance
you know,
standpoint.
He broke his hand.
It's been 8.8 last 8.8. year.
Huh.
Well, here, so here, I'm gonna take the under for two reasons. First off, 3 years in a row, just under. And I think the other thing that makes me a little bit concerned is that NL pitchers are going to be facing a DH.
I'm good with that.
We're gonna have universal DH this year. So that's going to bring the K's down a little bit. So I'd say
you don't think it'll bring the K's
K
up
per inning. The projections.
Big DH swinging for the fences.
No, because they won't face. No, because the pitchers strike out.
No, because pitchers strike out a ton.
Actually, I think there was.
I'll try to track those down. I think 8.5 is a great line. I think if you set the line at 8.5, that's
line
very
is.
Fair.
I don't mind taking 9. So yeah, look, I don't mind taking the 9. I like the 9.
I'm always meddling in your guys' affairs, trying to push the middle.
DVR, if it's 8.5, we go over or under.
I like that number better. I would take the under.
I'll give you 8.5, Nando.
I think he's a little under.
I'll give you that.
Oh, come on. Don't let DVR.
I love that you're meeting
I'll
in the middle on this.
No, because that's. I think 9 is just a little. It's just a little optimistic. So
oh, you guys
8.5,
are looking at his
I think
last
that's a.
He's done this many times before.
I'm well, just looking
twice.
At his velocity.
No, I'm looking at the projections, though.
Hate to overtalk.
No,
I'm just looking
no,
at his velocity.
There are four sets of projections.
Madison Bumgarner,
so
8.5 K
that.
Per 9. Nando over. I'm Sounds writing good. This. I'm writing this in my Google Calendar, and I'm going to set it for Tuesday, September 29th. And I'm going to send both of you
Perfect.
Guys invites to this, so we can all see it at the same time and remember.
I will accept.
All right.
I will accept.
All right.
So Ian and I have
yes.
the under mm-hmm. on this, and you have the over?
With two individual bets.
Okay.
If I win, I get 12. If I lose, I give 10.
That doesn't make any sense. Wait, don't start. Don't confuse the issue, man. We'll work on terms later. DVR, it took me 5 minutes to set up a Google Calendar thing for this. Not really. It took me two.
This is very exciting. Yeah. And we can we add to that? Can that just be our, like, our overall bets?
I like that. We got 4 weeks. The season could start either 23rd or 24th, games. According to Manfred.
With 60 games.
I'd like to do a John Morihon bet.
With 60 games.
John Morjon, over under 4.00 ERA.
Under.
Yeah, I go under too.
Go under on that.
All right, fine.
I think we all agree on
that. I will say that it is now, OOTP is definitely affecting my feelings about baseball.
Yeah.
I am grabbing Chicago White Sox. I'm doing this mock dynasty draft with James Anderson, Clay Link, and Eddie Almaguer. And we've been doing it for the last couple of weeks, and we're through the fourth round. And I have Andrew Vaughn, who I grabbed in the third, and there's no way I would have done that. And Lucas Giolito, who I grabbed in the fourth. And I just want them.
Is that the end of the story? The Ian Khan pause.
No. I'm letting it sink. But the Chicago White Sox are my team, like almost as much as the Yankees. Although, who knows? I might be rooting for the White Sox more now than I was before, the Yankees. I love this team so much.
I don't know, like that. So the White Sox, actually, I know everyone's going gaga over the Reds right now in the short season and their great pitching and the damage they can do. I think the White Sox might be another sneaky, I don't know what they are. I know a bunch of numbers just came out.
They're two players away.
Which they can easily trade for if they're look, we can grab this crown right now in a 60-game season and a short playoff. Like, you know, against teams that aren't ready yet, like they could make those two trades pretty easily, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, but
we got to do another over under show.
You're not wrong. I just think there are a couple of players away from really competing for the championship to be up against the Astros, the Rays, and the Yankees.
Kopech.
I just think they're really if Kopech and that's counting if Kopech can cease. Really kind of blossom, which I think is possible.
I think the White Sox, as constructed, if they were doing the 16-team playoff, I think they'd be like a really good sneaky long shot bet. I still think they're in range, even with the traditional format because of the 60-game season. And I still think there's something there. I mean, I think they have enough offense. Like top to
that's
bottom,
a really
that's a
really
lineup.
Good lineup.
They've got depth.
That is it. There's no weak link in that lineup.
Lurie Garcia is a weak link.
He's not a weak
until
link.
Until Nick Madrigal shows up.
Lurie Garcia is 280, 15-15.
He's not even a starter.
Listen, Lurie Garcia is the reason why the Diamondbacks missed the playoffs. Because he got suspended for a fight with Trevor Bauer. Is that correct? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get those guys to do that in the sim?
Sorry about that.
Screwed both of us.
It happens.
A little bug in Lurie's ear. And then Trevor Bauer stuck a baseball in Lurie's ear. It was, you know, Lurie came out, fought. With COVID-19, there was a 10-game suspension.
Well, in that alternate universe, that's not really happening. It's not so much of a concern.
That's true. It's not. No. But I do love me some Chicago White Sox. Just fantastic.
Carlos Rodon's probably going to come back just at the right time.
Yeah, he'll be a relief arm this year. It's all they can do with him. He's coming off of TJ surgery. They'll have to be careful with him. I will say, I just signed, or I'm close to signing Nomar Mazara to a 3-year extension, which I'm pretty excited about, for a really good price.
Yep.
Did you read the story about Yermin Mercedes? How did he end up doing in the sim? I never even looked, but then I read James Fegan's story about him, and the dude's like a beast. I mean, there's nowhere for him to, he's kind of like not a catcher, not a DH. Edwin Encarnacion's there for a little, like, it's going to be a mess, but, he's got some potential. Maybe he steals some at-bats in a shortened season and, you know, becomes your home run champion for the American
League.
What's
the upside on Mercedes here, on your mean Mercedes? I mean, I'm looking. He's in double-A for me. He was fine. Nothing particularly special, but what's the word on him?
I think he's like...
He's a weird player. This is a good pull, Nando. I think he's like kind of made for fantasy in a strange way. Like 60 hit tool... 60 raw power. His worst tools are speed and defense. So as long as he can get on the field, he's going to hit.
Yeah. 7 feet tall.
He's just a hitter.
No, he's not. He's 5'11", 225, but he's just... He's like, he's jacked. He could be interesting.
I have him in double A. I'm going to move him up to triple A. Actually, I moved him up to triple A mid-season. He's fine. He was not particularly exciting as a player.
I should ask for him instead of Yolbert.
Dude, Yolbert is the man.
Why don't you give me...
Yolbert is the man.
Well, wait, the season will be over in like a week. And apparently we're playing in 2021. I don't know what's going on. Well, I didn't really check the Slack, but I guess we'll see.
No, it's we're definitely playing in 2021.
All right, the Arizona Diamondbacks
want... I've got people reaching out already.
Your mean Mercedes.
Okay, all right. We can make that happen.
By the way, we have some emails. I don't want to skip the emails. I think we got a bunch of them, so let's respect that, man. People are finally right into the show after weeks of us pleading for them to help us out. I think we have, slightly. Well, you've been drunk. You don't remember, I do. I remember saying all this stuff.
All the way to drunk. I think it's a little harsh. How about for Seth Beer? I kind of like Seth Beer.
Yeah, I'll do it. Done.
I love it. I'll love it.
We should have a ding for that. Oh, by the way, Ian, I want to thank you again for persuading me. We went up to the Thousand Islands. I bought two more bottles of that rhubarb liqueur.
Dude,
and I got a raspberry one.
How long did it take
one.
You to get there?
It takes an hour and 20 minutes. How long did it take you to get there? Hour and 20 minutes.
So why'd you only buy three bottles?
Because I'm going to go back up in a few weeks.
Got it.
Yeah.
Fair reason.
Yeah. It's just, you know.
Because I'd like, listen, just buy me a, what other kind do they have? They have rhubarb. I don't even know what rhubarb tastes like.
That's what
kind of like raspberry.
Yeah. There's a maple. There's a maple strawberry.
Ooh.
It's actually pretty good.
Ooh, I like strawberry.
Made with New York State maple syrup.
How great is that? Yeah. I'm all in on this.
This is a very farmy. It's a very farmy thing. That, like, their bourbon is made from corn that's grown in the Thousand Islands and water from the Thousand Islands. So that kind of stuff. DVR style
love
stuff,
it.
You know.
I love it.
All right, let's do
DVR loves that stuff.
Yeah.
I like this place.
Right? You guys should come up. Come up, so you know, once we're good, a couple years.
It's going to be a minute.
Yeah.
It'll be a minute. I would do that.
It's only 7 hours.
We still have to watch Midnight Run. We have to watch Midnight Run, guys.
See, I got
to
watch Turn.
Do it. Like a, watch Midnight Run. It's better.
Well, now that I'm a member, by the way.
Con, by a lot.
This is also on the rundown. I want to thank you for encouraging me to join Mount Vernon, because now I get emails from them every other day. It's been good. They tried to sell me Swedish dish towels, and I don't even know what today. I deleted today's before I even read it. Like, the headline was just so ridiculous that I'm like, no.
That's what you have to do.
The just subject line was
unsubscribe, baby.
I hold you responsible for all this.
You did your part.
Yeah.
You did your part. You can unsubscribe. But, you know, it was good. Thank you. Did you watch? Did you watch the
I haven't watched it. It's still marked as unread.
I know. I have the same thing. I was going to watch it tonight, and I had to take care of some family things on the phone.
Ian, I gotta oversee two draft kits now, simultaneously.
Dude, you do.
So
it's true.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on.
They wanted another donation. Another donation.
Did they really?
Yeah.
No. Did they?
The Mount Vernon Ladies Association.
I don't feel good about that. That's an interesting story about them. Not for this show, but it's an interesting story.
All right. All right. Anyway, let's get some emails. Some non-spam asking for money emails. DVR, you want to take the first one? Or any of... Actually, you don't have to go first. You put these in. You probably know the good ones.
Yeah, they're all good. The first one's from Chandler.
Good name.
It's about OOTP. He writes, "Hey guys, love what you're doing with the show. What will you guys do if you tie for final record?" That was actually something we did not think about in advance. We should think about that for future bets.
It is amazing that we were all within 1.5 games of each other. Very impressive.
Yeah, that is actually that's really insane.
Yeah. I think we would have probably said whoever goes furthest in the playoffs wins if that were the situation. If none of us went to the playoffs, then we push, everyone gets their money back.
But DVR won, and he already got his money, even though he got gypped $2 by Khan.
Got paid. I got about 28% of a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card for my efforts, so I'm feeling good about that. The question is, I just wanted to ask if in any of your OOTP sims, you've had your team playing to extremes, good and bad, on both sides of the ball. I'm running a sim as the Cardinals, currently 61-40, but as a team hitting 231, 306, 375. That is horrible. But as a pitching staff sitting with a 3.26 ERA and a 2.8 K to BB. So great pitching, horrible hitting, and 21 games over 500. I haven't seen anything quite like that. I've seen some crazy player performances. Did you guys happen to look at Josh Hader's stats in the sim for the Athletic?
It's obscene.
I mean, amazingly bad. Like you
can't
even
dream for a guy who's an 80 to have an ERA of like 9 for a full season. I mean, I wanted to go trade for him at the deadline, and I looked at his numbers, and I was like, what? I even talked to Jamie about this a couple of weeks ago. I got him on the phone.
Of course.
And I talked to Jamie. Yeah. And I talked to Jamie, and I asked him, I was like, what's the deal? And he was like, what? It can't be that weird. I was like, it's so weird. Take a look. And he's like, whoa, what the hell? Can't figure it out. It can be really frustrating.
Sorry to jump on you there. I was wondering if Will had somehow like configured Hader to pitch in every game, so he was always pitching tired or something. Like it was
that would make sense.
Was
Will paying much attention because that team didn't have the as good a season as one might expect?
Will, I know Will's a fantasy guy, so I assume he was. He likes this stuff.
I mean, the final record was 65-97. Pretty bad.
If you're bad, you're bad. You know. What are you gonna do?
I'll tell you. I did a sim. I was doing another sim, and it can be incredibly frustrating because you're like, this team is better than this, and it's like, no, it's not. And you traded Howie Kendrick, and everyone's mad at you now, and everyone's getting angry, and no one's getting along in the clubhouse because of you and your choice. And Jerry Reinsdorf saying things like, you know, I was having good feelings coming into the season. Now I'm not exactly so sure. See how you do in the second half. He's always respectful. I appreciate that.
It's weird how many problems you guys have with the people around you. Maybe the Diamondbacks needed more of that. You know?
Maybe you just weren't looking at the emails.
I was. I saw all the emails.
In the Athletic OTP, my guys got along brilliantly. James McCann, he was my captain. Yasmani Grandal was my leader. No. Swap that. Reverse it. It was Yasmani Grandal was the leader. Whatever. And then Danny Mendick was the spark plug. Eduardo Escobar was the prankster. Like, these guys loved each other. They had the time of their lives. They just won 87 games. Is there anything worse than 87 and 75? You're going to get a bad draft pick. And, you know, although it was fun for the fans, you got
to
think.
I accidentally traded one of my draft picks to Mike Piolucci without realizing it.
How?
The guy I gave $1.5 million bonus to.
Oh, Piolucci's no joke, man.
Yeah.
And then he'll write you up in his column, and he'll tell you.
It's my fault.
He wrote up that Nick Madrigal trade.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
Look carefully.
That's how I found out. That's how I found out it was one of my draft picks, because I read his column. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. He's got 17 moves on how to, you know, prepare for the future. And I was like, all right, let's see what you say about Madrigal. And he's like, it's a no-brainer for me. I'll take on all the money. I don't care. And he didn't make mention of the other side, like why that might be of value to me. He was just looking at it from his point of view, which is perfectly appropriate, I guess. But I was like, look, I got Lance Lynn for free for 2 years, Mike Minor for a year, Danny Santana for 2 years. You know, free players is good. Get other players.
Yeah.
I got Lance Lynn next year for free. Lance Lynn, I do not pay Lance Lynn next year. It really does free up a lot of money.
I haven't even looked at next year's stats. I think I'm losing Lurie Garcia.
Yes, you are, and you want to let him go. OOTP is problematic because it's making me like fantasy baseball less.
Oh.
Because what OOTP does is it makes you think about salaries too. And fantasy doesn't do that. And I like it. I like thinking that stuff through. Like, do I want to keep Edwin Encarnacion next year? No. For $12 million? No, thanks. Nope. Bye, E5. But if he's on my fantasy team, I'm not going to drop him.
Yeah. Never thought of it like that, I guess. I haven't gotten as deep as you into this. I mean, I have. I've gotten super deep into OOTP. Like, I'll go into the year 2028. But I, you know what? The details, I don't pay much attention to. I just like playing the games and making the trades. I'm like a little 8-year-old.
How do you guys handle this? Like, I want to simulate it, and then, like, injury problem. And then I got to redo every lineup, and that's annoying. Do you guys deal with that, or do you just let the AI control it?
When you do single player, so, like, in my Marlins single player world, Barry Bonds is my hitting coach, and someone crazy is my pitching coach. I forget who it is, and I just let them set everything. I'm like, all right, cool, thanks.
Like Rob Dibble or something?
No, you know, I can look it up. It takes 10 Rob minutes Dibble. To fire up OOTP, but I'll look it up. Because someone was out there. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It might be a Maddox. I can't remember. That's so, it hurts so much to open this up right now.
It's the third Maddox. It's like...
It's a Maddox.
Some guy named Weeb Maddox. That's incredible.
It's the cousin. Hey, like, speaking of Maddox, has... we've talked about this on the show before, but please watch Chris Bryant and Greg Maddox, where Greg Maddox is pretending to be a cameraman and goes out and pitches BP and just strikes Chris Bryant out.
The Little Caesars commercial?
No, it's like a... It's
yeah,
a,
it was like a... It wasn't like a viral...
Yeah, it's really fun. It's just fun. It made me think of it because you've got a Maddox as a pitcher.
It's not Maddox, though. It's... I'll find it. Where do I find it? Front office?
Then don't watch it.
Dave Island?
No, it's not Dave. It's someone ridiculous.
Real pitching coach.
Personnel, is that it?
Hey, how about the fact that the Houston Astros did not win the division and that the Los Angeles Angels did? Come on. That's crazy.
That brings me a shred of joy.
Yeah, me too. Got a little shred. Those stinking, cheating Yankees at 91-71 didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. The Rays cruised in that division, a 12-game lead.
It's Mitch Williams.
Yeah, my Dibble guess was not that far off.
It's Mitch Williams and Barry Bonds.
Mitch Williams.
And Don Mattingly's my manager.
I've seen the other side.
Anyway.
Who would be the worst pitching coach possible? Like, think about all-time
Mitch
relievers.
Williams. It would have to be Mitch Williams.
Come on, man. He's mature now. He probably has some good advice for the youngsters.
Hey, how about that on Twitter? Somebody was asking, like, what fantasy analyst goes with what player? And mine was Clint Frazier. That kind of made me sad.
Ah, that's great.
And I guess I understood.
What a great answer.
You know, Nando's was like Jose De Leon and like Lewis Brinson, like guys he loved.
Yeah.
And mine was the guy that I don't love so much. It's like, isn't there another one?
Probably some Chicago. Probably Gio Gonzalez. All right, we got more emails. These are DVR movie suggestions.
DVR is the man.
All right, a couple DVR movie suggestions.
This one's from Joe. He recommends The Paper. He refers to The Paper as a sneaky great Marissa Tomei movie. Man, you guys that are a little older than me, you love Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Did you ever see My Cousin Vinny? We've talked about this. She's very good in that.
It's on the list. I will get to My Cousin Vinny. There's a few. So here's what I need. I need guidance. We're getting a lot of recommendations. The other email came from Sean Thomas Blott. He recommended King of New York, Big Trouble in Little China, Apocalypse Now, and Once Upon a Time in the West, and then a bonus for the film buffs, Diva.
Can you pronounce who Diva is by, please, for me?
Jean-Jacques Binet.
Of course, that's right.
Pretty good.
Right, yeah. I would assume.
Jean-Jacques Binet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really speak French, but, you know.
I know, but you did very well, monsieur. Okay, so I'll do the next email. Nando, good?
Yeah, please. I insist.
From Andrew, subject line, what do Yolbert Sanchez and Ben Stiller have in common? Nothing, as far as I know. Does that at least check the Yolbert box? Guys, I'm a fan of the show. I was definitely one of the 7 or so retweeters pulling for a live podcast last week or so. We'll get it next time. These are my movie suggestions for Derek Van Riper. I'd be really surprised if he hasn't seen Field of Dreams, but a buddy of mine recently admitted he never saw it, so who knows? So here are the films.
DVR, has he seen Field of Dreams 4.5 times over or under?
Under, because it's not a good movie, so... I'm going to say under on that.
I'm going to say over.
I think it's over because I did watch it a few times as a kid, and I watched it again recently as an adult, and I remember liking it a lot more as a kid. I think
it's just not a good movie.
It's just kind of okay. I think relative to its hype, it just doesn't quite stack up.
And my biggest problem with that movie is that Ray Liotta does not know how to play baseball, right? He's supposed to be Shoeless Joe Jackson. I think he's hitting righty. Shoeless Joe, I believe, was a lefty. In the movie, he's wearing shoes. It's all crap.
Keep going. I wonder, what did Ray Liotta
strong,
do to you? There's an acting story about this.
Strong take.
Yeah.
No. Goodfellas, very good in Goodfellas. Very, very good. Really good. I love that movie. These are my movie suggestions for DVR, right? So, Heavyweights, Magnolia, The Firm, Field of Dreams, Presumed Innocence. It's kind of Tom Cruise heavy. Figure I'd toss in a couple extra to be safe. Other than Presumed Innocent, the others are not only good or funny, they're super quotable. I'd be kind of surprised if Ian has never said Heartache Mitch in his best Wilford Brimley voice. Take care, all.
You could definitely do a Wilford Brimley voice.
I think I... Well, you know what's funny is that Clay Link I don't ding, but I probably should at this point. The Clay kind of sounds like Wilford Brimley. You know, he's sort of a mix between Wilford Brimley and, he's just real glad to be there. And just, it's just a pleasure to be with you guys. You guys are so good. And we're having so much fun. It's just such a good show.
He's like Wilford Brimley.
That's my Wilford Brimley.
I'm 1.5 speed. That's Clay. That's how I heard Clay, when I heard Clay Link on the radio. Yeah, I could see that. Diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah, and he also, Clay Link is the nicest of men, DVR. Don't you think? You know Clay better than, well.
I don't know Clay at all. I just know him from listening to him on the radio.
I know Clay pretty well, but DVR, you worked with him for years. The nicest of men.
Yes, absolutely. We're lucky. We work with a lot of nice people overall, but Clay is like at the top of that list. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's right there with Tim McLeod in terms of just kind, nice men. The guy let me, when we went down for labor, he and I shared a hotel room because he was like, hey, you're coming down, huh? I was like, yeah, I'm going to come down. He's like, you know, I've got a hotel room that you can come stay in mine because the company's going to pay for it. The least we could do. I was like, hey, save me like $900. Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, pal. So I'm a fan. Not because of that. Just I'm a fan. Good man.
Totally understood.
DVR owes the people 2 movie recommendations.
Is that true?
I do, because I didn't put one out there last week. All right. Well, my first recommendation, I don't know if you guys have seen this, High Road Dreams of Sushi.
I saw it. It was good. I know the guy who made it.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out.
One of the guys. Not the director, one of the producers.
You don't know High Road, do you?
No. This dude, Stefan. Very cool. Friend of a friend. That's the end of the story.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my... That's,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know if he had more.
No, that's all, man. Yeah. He's a good dude. I liked him.
It's an Andre DeFino pause.
He said he was making a movie. I'm like, oh, awesome. What is it? And he said, it's this, the greatest sushi chef in the world. I'm like, sounds interesting. So we VOD'd it one night, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it's visually stunning, aside from being a really interesting story.
I don't want to forget this, but I want to hear your review of King of Staten Island, because you posted about that this week.
Oh, King of Staten Island, man.
And then we'll get back to DBR's last movie recommendation and then Secret Word, but I want to hear about that. How was it? I'm interested.
It was all right. That's about it. I mean, it was, you know, it's like one of those movies, like I might get confused with another movie in about 3 years, if, you know, a scene from this movie or that movie. He kind of reminds me, Pete Davidson, a little bit of Andy Samberg. There were some tropes. It was kind of boring at certain points. And then so, like, some stupid stuff, like Judd Apatow stuff that you don't like in his other movies kind of show up here. But like about 5/6 of the way through, there's this amazing bar scene. Steve Buscemi is like really great in this movie. It's like an older Steve Buscemi, you know, like gray hair Steve Buscemi, but like kind of like regal in a way.
It's good.
And Bill Burr. There's this great scene in the bar where they're talking about Pete Davidson's dad. It's just, like, amazing. It's just, like, a really good, like, 6-minute stretch, and I think it kind of turns the movie back around to being good. It was great. I mean, it was an amazing scene. Then they ruin it, you know, by doing, like, the stupid sing-along to Sweet Caroline or whatever after they all get drunk and stuff. But, yeah, it was, you know, it was good.
2.5 stars? 2.5 out of 4?
Yeah, maybe 2.5 out of 5.
Man, that's not good. It's like 2,
maybe 3 out of 5.
Well, when we do Midnight Run, we are going to do this movie, and you're going to give it out of 5 stars. I can guarantee, Nando, that you will give at least, and I'm saying at least, 3.5 stars on this movie. Guaranteed.
How many will DVR give it?
4.
No. All right.
Yeah, guaranteed. It's a no lose. You can't lose with that movie.
All right, cool.
In fact, as soon as we're done, I'm setting up a Zoom meeting, and we're going to watch it.
It's so weird that you want to do this so badly.
I really do, because it's really it's a really good movie. All right, so then DVR, what was your other one?
I'm going to go old for this one. I'm going to go North by Northwest. I have not seen all of Alfred Hitchcock's films. Of the ones I've seen, it is my favorite so far. It's a long, long process to get through all of them, but it's classic. Cary Grant, Eva Marie Saint, James Mason, awesome.
I do a decent Cary Grant impression. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Are we going to know if this is good or not?
I will.
Why, Elaine? Because I did, what's that? What is that play called? Jesus.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
No, it's a play about two old grandmas who kill people with elderberry wine.
Is that arsenic and lace?
Yes, arsenic and old lace. My God, I played the Cary Grant part at Baltimore Center Stage, and I watched him do the movie, like, which I don't usually do, but I did. I watched him do the movie like a week in rehearsals, and he's like, "Why Elaine? Why Elaine? Yes, Elaine. Oh, Elaine." That's it. That's my whole impression.
That's actually pretty good.
It's better than your Wilford Brimley.
I wasn't doing Wilford Brimley. I was doing the Clay Link. And so Secret Word is got to be Wilford Brimley. I was going to say Clay, but he's Link.
I think Wilford Brimley is a good one.
Just Wilford, just to shorten it up, maybe.
Okay. Hashtag Wilford.
Yeah, hashtag.
Because we did Clay once, remember? In the finals against, we did beat Clay Link. I don't think they liked that very much.
That feels mean in hindsight, yeah.
I didn't like it at the time.
Oh, come on. Mondo pushed it through. You did.
Godfather pushed it.
It's funny. It was all good fun, right?
Yep.
All right.
It was. And he's a good guy. Come on.
Yeah, he is. I assume. If DVR likes him, I like him. So yeah. Look, this is probably our last podcast where we can screw around, because by this time next week, we are going to need like hardcore focus. Send your questions. Hit us up on emails. FantasyPods@theAthletic.com.
Yeah, I don't even really know anymore.
Yeah, I noticed on Twitter.
Yeah, it actually is FantasyPods@theAthletic.com. I don't know why I haven't just set up UnderTheRadar@gmail.com or something. That would save me so much time.
Yeah, that would. But then you'd have to check it.
Yeah, well, and now someone else is going to set it up, and it's going
to
be. Then
we have to buy
thing.
It from them.
Yeah, we'd have to be UnderTheRadar12@gmail.com. And that's just more confusing than Fantasy Pods.
That would be sad.
Yeah.
That would be so sad.
But yeah, you know, UnderTheRadar@gmail.com is definitely taken. So let's say we shouldn't even, you know. Well, maybe. Let's not say anything.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Let's just
but listen, baseball's back. By this time next week, I assume we're going to have a lot more in the way of rules and tweaks and strategies. Our draft kit should be, you know, maybe 4 or 5 articles deep by then. It's really going to start taking off as we, you know. Here's the problem. Like, if Mike Trout decides he's not going to play, and which is now allowed under these rules that, you know, if it's some kind of pre-existing condition or, you know, pregnant family member, this is going to, I mean, that's going to set off some dominoes. I mean, does that mean Joe Adele is going to be the starter in the outfield for the Angels? Does Joe Adele's draft stock go up before we know if Mike Trout has made a decision yet? Stuff like
that. For sure,
right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so that's going to change a lot of things, and a lot of dominoes are going to fall, and a lot of questions are going to be asked. So we're just kind of, we're not trying to go too fast, so we won't have to change too much stuff later on, but we also want to throw a bunch of cool stuff at you. So anyway, for this show, we're ready to go, man. We are ready. OTP is going to be over. DVR is going to get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs.
Hey.
Hey, DVR, before we go, what's your rotation looking like in the playoffs? Where's Morey Hone? He's got to be 2, right?
You know, because of Lurie Garcia being a total clown fighting Bauer, Bauer still has suspension to fulfill, so Bauer will has 2 games left. So the wild card game is game 1 of that suspension, and then game 1 of the NLDS is the 2nd game. So I think I have to go Lucchesi.
Oh,
I think I have to go Lucchesi, Morey Hone, Bauer, Paddock, because Paddock's starting the wild card game.
Why don't you guys play that game?
Like, actually play the whole thing?
Yeah,
it'd be cool if we could do that.
I think you can.
Game 7, you know, you can only play a game that's a deciding game. So if someone's up 3-2, you can play it. And you can make the changes. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I could decide when to go to the pen, you know, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
You'd have to find the same time for someone else to do it though, right? Who are you playing? Sure. What are the playoffs, by the way?
I am playing Max Boltman's Washington Nationals.
I don't even know who to root for.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. You got to root for San Diego. We got our money on it.
I know. I'm just
cold,
10
man.
Bucks. 12 bucks. 10, 12 bucks.
Actually, Jamie announced that cold. The wild card's going to be pushed back a day. He's going to run it live tomorrow.
I know. Jamie does like to just do that. You know, car trouble.
We got time to drop some odds in the general chat room here.
All right.
Right?
I'm an underdog.
Yeah, for sure. But you're at home, so... But he's got either Scherzer or you would think.
And then I
got
to deal with Pedro Mora's Dodgers if I win the wild card game. That's not going
to
be fun.
Their second half record has to be like, I don't know, 60 and 20.
They're 50 over 500 for the season.
Very impressive. Yeah.
But I mean, and you know what's crazy? That roster is the Dodgers roster right now. Like, he didn't make any moves. That's just like the Dodgers being awesome.
Yeah, they're really good.
What a jerk.
Justin Turner is definitely going to be on the free agent market, asking for $18 million.
Can't be having that. Oh, well. Anyway, on that note, our OOTP follies might soon come to a close if DVR can advance, so I kind of hope he does, so we can keep this up for at least another week or two. But in the meantime, send us your questions. We're back. Baseball's back. Actual real results and things. As we learn more about, you know, what's going on, we see stuff from the industry, like what's the NFBC going to do, what's going to happen with that big cut line challenge that we put out for all the Athletic, things like that. What are these games going to look like? Is CBS going to, are they going to go ahead with head-to-head leagues? I don't know, because what are you going to be like 3-2 and make the playoffs? That's how quickly this is going to go this year. So hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on the emails. Hit us up however you see fit. That's about it. Thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoy this show. We hope you enjoy the show all times. Have a great one, everybody. I'm Nando Fino. We'll see you next week.